Lord Jesus, we again thank you for your word, for your word is truth. And Lord, we know that time is in your hands. And we trust that you have indeed kept us here another year for a good reason. And Lord, we know what St. Peter meant when he said that we should pray as if we have tomorrow. Because we don't know when you're going to return, but we trust that each and every day you give to us is an opportunity for us to share our gifts. The gifts that you have given us with the world around us. Lord, may we recognize the importance of time, that you have time in your hands. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the first Sunday after Christmas, but it's also New Year's Eve, and we're not going to have a service tonight, so we're going to talk a little bit about this new year. What is 2018? What does it mean beginning a new chapter? It's hard to say farewell, isn't it? It's really hard to say farewell, even though Johannes is still living in the same place, just going to be a few miles down the road, and yet it's a change, and change is never easy. And so as we hear this passage of Scripture from Galatians chapter 4, we hear these words, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Those words are really important. I want to look at those words there. When the fullness of time had come, God. Because we could look at the words individually and see time. Time is always advancing. We know this, right? We know that we cannot stop time. Every once in a while, I look at my children and I say, I wish I could just stop them right now. Just take this time for a moment. But unfortunately, that doesn't work. If anybody's figured that out, let me know. Because they just keep growing, right? They just keep changing and transition happens. Transitions take place in families, work, our country, and our world, right? There's always, time is always moving forward. Think about Mary and Joseph. Think about him working in Galilee, and then some king in Rome, which is a great distant place, decides he wants to count all the people in his empire, and so he has to take his pregnant wife and go to Bethlehem to be counted, right? It's not, some people were talking on the, I thought it was kind of interesting, some people were talking about immigration. This wasn't immigration, this was taxation. This is what it was. I mean, the only reason Caesar wanted everybody to be counted was because he wanted to know how much money he was going to get. And so he told them that they were to go from Galilee to Bethlehem. Well, he had to go to Bethlehem because that was his family home. And in the Hebrew system, every year of Jubilee, all of the land reverts back to the family. Some people have asked, well, why do you have to go to Bethlehem? Because he was a Jew, and the Jewish system, you always go back to the place where your land is because your land reverts back to you in the year of Jubilee. How many people knew that? A few of us? Yes? The 50th year. Every 50 years, if you had a plot of land, you could borrow it or sell it to someone, but only for the 50 years. And in the end of the 50 years, when the year of Jubilee came, the land reverted back. So he was always going to be a part of that Bethlehem community. So that's why he had to go there. And so you think about it. They went to Nazareth. They went from Nazareth to Bethlehem, then to Jerusalem, which we hear in our gospel lesson today, then to Egypt, as Matthew tells us, then back to Galilee. I mean, there was a lot of transition happening. It's not a time of peace like we usually think of Christmas and the manger and the star and the shepherds and we usually think of it as a peaceful time. It was a lot of turbulence going on. As a matter of fact, when St. Paul says, when the time had fully come, you have to think about the fact that this is a unique time in history. I don't have enough time today to go into all of the things that were in place, but God picked this time in history for his son to come because everything was perfect for Jesus and his message to get out. You had Rome and you had a peace that the world had never seen before. You had a culture under the Greeks that allowed for one language, the language of commerce, like today with English, to be around the world, the known world anyways, the world around the Mediterranean. You had a lot of a spiritual hunger. You had a zeal in the among the people of Israel at this time for the Messiah. You had a lot of things happening that line this time up perfectly for Jesus to be born. So when the time had fully come, and today we're talking about Johannes and Joan moving on, you know, transitions in time. And you got to trust the Lord knows what he's doing. Because the word fullness, pleroma, the word fullness, this is the definition that you have if you look it up in the Greek. It means to be complete, that which has been filled. A ship inasmuch as it is filled or manned with sailors, rowers, and soldiers. In the New Testament context, it means the body of believers as that which is filled with the presence, power, agency, riches of God and of Christ. Isn't that awesome? That was a pretty neat definition of this Greek word. It means that we have everything we need. We have the presence of God and Christ in our midst. We have the power that comes with that. And we're an agency. What does an agency mean? We're ambassadors, right? We represent Christ. We are representatives of Christ. And we have the riches of God and of Christ in our midst. That which fills or with which a thing is filled. And it's completeness, a fullness, an abundance. And I thought, you know, the most important thing about that, what I underlined there from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 is, when the time had fully come, or when the fullness of time had come, God. Who's the center of all this? God. It's not about time, even though time's important. It's not about the fullness or completeness of time, even though that's extremely important. It's about God. God sent his son, right? God redeemed the world through his son. Just think about the fact that if the temple in Jerusalem wasn't there when Jesus was born, first of all, we wouldn't have the gospel lesson where he, as the firstborn son, you know, it's only the firstborn son is dedicated, right? That's biblical. The only firstborn son, and he's always given, because he opens the womb, he's always given to God. There's no example in Scripture other than the firstborn son being dedicated or given to God. And as faithful Jews, what did Mary and Joseph do? They circumcised him on the eighth day, and when the time of purification, the 40 days after a boy was born, they went up to the temple. If they would have been wealthier, they would have actually taken a lamb, but they didn't. They took two turtle doves, right? Two pigeons. And they sacrificed, and in that temple, the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, sent them messengers, Simeon and Anna, who told them that God has a special plan for your child. Isn't that awesome? How many of us would like it if somebody come up to us and just lay it out for us? Wouldn't that be awesome? I think they needed it because they were going to be going through some pretty heavy things, and they really needed this. I mean, they had the angel. Now they have the individuals, both a male and a female. I think that's kind of significant, right? Both dedicated to God, both prophets, both people who are willing to speak the word of truth into the lives of these two individuals who are probably still a little bit fearful. There's a lot of intrepidation. And then it says, so God is the focus of this passage. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, redeemed to redeem the world, born of a woman to redeem the world, so that we could be adopted as sons and daughters, right? Isn't that what it says? That we should be adopted. Who's adopting us? God is adopting us, right? God fills us with his spirit, so much so that we can say, Abba, Father. A lot of discussion, if you look it up, a lot of discussion about what does Abba, Father mean? Where does it come from? Why is this word so significant? Because it is extremely personal. It's something that was not used on average. I mean, Father is used in Matthew's gospel. The word Father is used 45 times. Just in Matthew's gospel alone. So Father is significant, but Abba Father is taking Father, which is more of a proper word, and making it personal. That we can say, Abba, Father, we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Just think about this. All throughout history, up to this time, God is always up there waiting to judge us, waiting to do something to us. And now we have a personal relationship with him through Christ Jesus. Not only that, we can have such a personal relationship that we can pray to him, Abba, Father, that we can have a conversation with him. Isn't that awesome? That's what that means. We can have a relationship with him, and we can have a personal heart-to-heart is a better way of putting it. Heart-to-heart talk with God. And he tells us that we are heirs, meaning we have everything he has is ours. Isn't that awesome? Everything he has is ours. And we are God's children in Christ. We pray, Abba, Father. We are called according to his purpose for his plans with his power. The truth is great when we recognize, the future is great when we recognize this truth. Because when we experience traumatic situations, when we go through things that we don't understand, when we go through things where we experience loss, and I have to confess, I mean, one of the things that I have experienced a lot over the last few years is loss. And I know there's other people here that have experienced loss. Is it fun? Do we look forward to it? No. It's part of life, though, isn't it? Loss is part of life, and that is why it's so important to hold on to those words. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. God is the one who has time and space and our future in his hands. What is the God has planned for us? Well, we have new people here in our church. As a matter of fact, I'm just signing a transfer letter for some people today. So that's pretty cool. They're old new, right? But hey, that's okay. We're excited. We like to be together as a church family. One of the things I've noticed over this last year, there's a lot of trauma over the last couple years, and I just noticed that people like spending time together. That's why we're doing this family on mission trip. We're going down to Mississippi. We like spending time together. That's a cool thing. We have a great mission field around us, don't we? Look around us. We have a great mission field. We are strategically placed for some really cool things. We're unique as a charismatic Lutheran church, and we will continue to be unswerving on the truth of Holy Scripture no matter what. And I want you to understand this, because it would be so simple to try to grab more people by telling people what they want to hear. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It would be so simple to grab more people so that we could have a nice big crowd if we just kind of told people what they wanted to hear. Unfortunately, that's not what the Bible says. And quite frankly, that's not what Jesus did. Every time somebody leaves, I always think to myself, I know exactly how Jesus felt in John's gospel when he turns around to the disciples and says, are you still here or are you leaving too? It's hard. But the reality is God has a plan for us. When the fullness of time had come, God, he sends us. He redeems us. He calls us. He gives us the power. He has the purpose. And we know that no matter what, if we stand on his word, we will see God at work. We'll see people healed. We'll see things happen. I really believe the Lord wants to show us his power. And the fact is, I've seen it over and over again. And I wish more people could see what I see. Unfortunately, that's the one benefit. One of the few benefits of being a pastor is you get to see a lot of things that other people don't get to see. But there's other things that aren't benefits. We'll talk about that later. But 2018, the year of our Lord 2018, which starts tomorrow, it starts at midnight tonight, or 12:01 tomorrow morning, is going to be a year of challenges and opportunities. And we are not here by accident. God has a plan and purpose for us here, hasn't he? It's not an accident that Johannes and Joni are called. I keep saying Joni. I have a hard time with Joan. Just I know that she's... She'll always be Joni to me. So, Johannes and Joni going to ULC, God has a plan for us. There's no mistake. God has a plan for us. And we sojourn, we journey, we go where God calls us. But we also trust that he knows what's best, that he will get us through, and that he has opportunities and challenges that he wants us to rise to. Because in the end, what happens when we're challenged? What happens when we go through what some people might call opportunities? Don't feel like opportunities at the time. What happens? When the fullness of time had come, God. What does God do when he gives us opportunities? It's an opportunity for us to trust in him. Brothers and sisters, this is a year, if I would summarize how I feel about going into 2018, I feel it's going to be a year where God is going to call us and he's going to say, Brian, Carol, Sarah, Chris, Alan, Paul, Don, Nathaniel, Gary. Trust. Trust. I got it under control. Trust. For when the fullness of time had come, God. God. Amen.